Well, I thank the Lord to be here today. And I feel very much in need of your prayers this afternoon. Not my comfort zone. I have some thoughts that felt like the Lord gave me while I was in Kenya a couple weeks ago. And this week, the Lord has been bringing those thoughts back to me. And I desire your prayers this afternoon. I feel like that there are some lessons to be learned in this service. I feel like this is a very important service to attend. And there are things in this service and thoughts about the things that we are about to do that we don't get at any other time. And so I would like to encourage all of us to make this service a priority. There are three ordinances that the Lord commanded us to observe, and they all three make a statement. When we partake of these ordinances, we are making a statement. We have baptism, we have the foot washing, and we have the communion. The foot washing makes a statement, and maybe we can start in Mark 9:33. These are your prayers. Jesus came and talked to his disciples, and they had been talking about which one of them would be the greatest. And so in the 33rd verse, it says Jesus came to Capernaum. And being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Jesus came to teach us something that had not been taught before. And the Lord never asked us to do anything that he was not willing to do himself. John 13 and verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And he said it's a new commandment. Well, we have scripture in the Old Testament that says to love your neighbor as yourself. So why was this a new commandment? Because Jesus went beyond loving your neighbor as yourself. He took it farther than that. 1 John 3 and 16. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And so, in the New Testament, Jesus said, "You've heard that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But now I'm bringing something different to you today. I want you to love your brother more than yourself, in that you'd be willing to lay down your very life for your brother." Sometimes we think about laying down our life in a literal sense, and that's all, in that we think, you know what, if I saw my brother and he was about to be run over by a car, I'd jump out there, I'd push him out of the way, and I'd save him. But there are a lot of other ways that we can lay down our life for our brother or our sister. What about giving a significant portion of our time so that other people can be helped in their soul? You know, there are a lot of people that I see that I believe would flourish spiritually if some of us would just take the time to spend with them. That visit to the nursing home, that afternoon of maybe we were wanting to spend it doing what we wanted to do, but we spend it helping somebody, paying visits to our neighbors. I'm talking about things that seem like they're small and insignificant. What about our children? You know, sometimes I think we can get wrapped up in our hobbies and things that we want to do that's fun. And the people that are in our sphere of influence are neglected when we have something to give them. The gospel is a message of sacrifice. And when we don't have that spirit in us, and we feel like that the Lord just wants to prosper us, and we're going to go and we're going to have an enjoyable life, and everything we do is going to be easy, we're going to miss out on a lot of things. Sometimes I feel like that we can get wrapped up in our businesses. And I didn't know I was going to get into all this afternoon, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say this. Sometimes we can get wrapped up in our business and our work. Maybe the men here maybe this will hit home a little closer with the men than the women. But sometimes we can get all wrapped up and we have children, we have neighbors, we have family members, extended family members, we have our spouse, and we have all these people that the Lord put in our life. And all of those qualifies as our neighbor. They are near unto us. And I just want to say, you know, the scripture says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Did you know that every one of us has a debt? Every one of us owes someone something. And when it says not to owe anything, what it means is if you have a debt to somebody, you need to pay it. Whether it's time or whether it's just helping them to understand the scriptures, to be a positive influence. I find it hard to believe that none of us in here has nobody else that they are close to that needs something. All of us can serve one another. And we need to make sure that we do that without the thought of acknowledgement. I am the one that, you know what, I'm helping you here, and or even going to church and saying, you know what, or coming across with the air that I'm, yes, you know what, I don't have anything, and well, that's why I can't do this, because I'm just so busy helping these people over here, and that's why, you know, I'm suffering for Jesus. The Lord said that when you're fasting, you need to go wash your face. And when you pray, you need to go into your closet. It's not that you don't want anybody to see that you have religion. But the gospel is a life of sacrifice. And whenever we do things that negate that sacrifice, whether it's acknowledgement or honor from other men or what is it, whatever it is, we are taking what is supposed to be a sacrifice and we're actually benefiting from that in our flesh. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that. And so Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he said, you are my friends. And Jesus went, and I think about what he did. And I want to go to Philippians 2 and the third verse. Could I get some water, please? Philippians 2 and verse 3, it says, "And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." And I just want to comment on this last verse. I have, believe that the translation here, it said, "He thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That means that he counted not equality with God something to be held onto. "But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he did that for you and for me." These are just some very, very basic, simple thoughts this afternoon, but I believe that the Lord wants these things to sink down into our ears at a time like this. That we are willing to do what Jesus did. It said, "Let this mind be in you." The world does not view it this way. And I'd like to say that the thought of the world, which is, whatever benefits me. I have seen this in the workplace, and I've just been astonished at how prevailing the thought is that, you know what? If it makes me happy, that's what I want to do. That's what, and people will tell each other that, hey, you got to look out for number one. You got to make sure that no matter what, you're taken care of, because, don't we all want to be happy today? We do. I do. I want to be happy. I want to have a life that's happy. But it isn't what we think it is sometimes. A lot of times I think we think that if we take care of ourselves, that's where we'll be the happiest. But I want to tell you, some of the most unhappy men I've ever worked for, and I've worked for a lot of people in my lifetime, customers, the most unhappy are the wealthiest. Now, don't take what I'm saying. It's the Lord blesses people, but I want to tell you that people that live for themselves and spend their time accumulating money, time for themselves, are not going to be happy people. I want to turn now to John 13 and read what Jesus did here. First verse. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So there's a lot in this. There's a lot of different thoughts that we can get out of this, and I'll give you the ones that I feel like the Lord's given me for here. Jesus wanted to leave his disciples with something. And he didn't just randomly pick something. He could have said, you know what, let's all go around the table. I want you to say, I want to serve you. I want to be a servant. He spent a lot of time with his disciples to try to show them, you know what? The one that's going to be honored is going to be the servant. I want you all to serve one another. This is where the blessing is. This is where the life is. This is where the glory from the Father is. This is where the anointing is. The world does not get this, but I want to tell you that a life of service to one another without any reservation is the life that is blessed and anointed by the Lord. Jesus wanted to have something to where he, to leave his disciples something by which they could demonstrate this. You know, the Lord always has wanted communion with you and I. And I think of the song that we sang, Lord, we fellowship thy passion, gladly suffer shame and loss. It wasn't just that Jesus wanted to leave, to say, you know what, you all need to serve one another. But Jesus himself did it. And so by doing it, we can also fellowship with him. He was a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is something that I want to bring out a little bit later. But Jesus wants us to know him in every aspect that he came here with. He wants us to fellowship his sufferings. He wants us to fellowship his servitude. He wants us to fellowship him in everything. And he also wants us to fellowship him in his glory and his honor. And the Lord will do that for us. There's a great reward for us if we do the things. And it's not just after we die. The Lord said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Shall men give into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over? I don't know really how to be more blessed than that, do you? And the Lord wanted to give an example, and so this is what he picked. I want to go to 1 Samuel 25, verse 40. So this is on the tail end of the story of Nabal, who the Bible says was a churlish man. And he didn't really care about anybody but Nabal. He died in... And we're not going to take the time to read that story, but maybe in the 40th verse of 1 Samuel 25, it says, when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel. This was after Abigail came and did what her husband should have done. And she went and humbled herself before David and his servants, and she brought figs and bread and raisins and all that stuff. And she said, please have mercy on me. She humbled herself. Well, they came and they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went with her after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And I just think of the language that Abigail had here. And she said, you know, they said, come and be David's wife. And she said, I'm nothing. Just let me be a servant. Let me wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. The statement that she made was that I am the lowest of the low, and that I'm of no reputation. I don't mean anything. And it's a great honor to do this, and I'm not worthy of it. And let me wash the feet. It was something that was, it's the feet. It's something that's low. It's something that's mean. And the slaves did it. And that's what Jesus picked for an example that we do. You know, if I go and I wash your feet, that I'm not serving you by doing that. You probably already washed your feet anyway before you came here. But it's a statement. It's a statement. It means that I am willing to give my life for you. I am willing to be your servant. I am willing to get down lower than you. I'm willing to prefer you. I am willing to do what Jesus was willing to do for you. I don't know what all I can do for you, but if you can let me know, I'll try to do it. May we have... I just like the language of what Abigail said. She said, let me be a handmaid to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. You know, if we can be willing to do that, what Jesus did, he said, I have given you an example. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And so, feet washing, this service makes a statement. Yes. I'm saying to you, when I wash your feet, I know this really here isn't serving, but I am willing to do the meanest job, the lowest task, the most humble thing, if it will be an adequate repayment of the debt that I owe to you, if I owe you something, if I can help you get to heaven. Why are we here? What is our greatest... Sometimes I think that we think that there are exemptions to this kind of thing, and we say, you know what? I've asked this question before. What'd you do if a burglar broke into your house? I asked this to somebody a while back. We were talking about different beliefs and doctrines, and the topic of predestination came up. And I said, my friend said, you know, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the way you believe and the way I believe. And I will just say this, that it was a person I have confidence in. Love talking about the Bible. I believe they're saved. And we were discussing this, and he said, you know, I don't see much difference in the way that you believe and the way that I believe. He said, we were just talking about this person that you know is unsaved, and you have a burden for their soul. And he said, that's good. And he said, you were saying that you knew them and they used to have a relationship with the Lord, and now they don't anymore, and you want them to be saved. He said, I want them to be saved too. I don't remember what he said, but he said, the only difference here is that you think that they were once saved, and I don't think they were ever saved, because obviously they need the Lord, so I don't think they really had an experience. And he said, you know, we both agree that they need to be saved, so what's the difference? Well, I mean, what's the difference in importance? I said, if a burglar came and was going to shoot up your family, your house, What would you do? He's going to take your wife and blow her head in. What would you do? He said, I'd shoot him. And I said, why? Well, because I said, don't you think that that person, you think that the person that burgles your house is ready to meet the Lord? Well, no. So why would you shoot them? Well, if I shoot them and they go to hell, that's where they were predestined to go. You know, the Lord gave us a debt that we're supposed to help other people get to heaven. I don't think that it's something that we can turn our back on when it's convenient for us. Jesus told Peter to put his sword up. We don't do it like that, Peter. Because for that moment, it totally goes against everything that Jesus came to bring. The Lord wants us to serve one another. He wants us to pay our debts to one another. He wants us to help each other get to heaven, even if it costs us. Yes, we might have to lay down our life in a literal sense, and we also might have to lay down our life in that we might have desires, things that we want to do with our life. And the Lord might want us to take a part of our life that we were going to use for our own benefit and enjoyment and use that to help somebody else get to heaven, to help somebody else be established in the gospel. What are we doing with our lives this afternoon? I just want to leave us with that thought. So the other scripture, we won't turn to it, but it says that let all things be done decently and in order. So we follow, we observe this ordinance. And I just want, we observe this ordinance and we separate and sisters go into, what is it, the east dining hall, and the brothers will go into the west dining hall. I want to encourage us today, as we do this service, that there be a heart behind the statement that we make, where we say, you know, this is the statement I'm making. I am willing to serve you today. And it's not just some sort of a form. You know, the Lord wants us to, yeah, the Lord gave us this ordinance, so let's get this over with, and I'm going to wash my hands, and I hate this part of it. No. No, it's not to the flesh. It's not the cleanest thing. It's not the most desirable thing to the flesh. But Jesus chose this for us to make a statement to one another. I want to be your servant. So maybe we could do that now.